Temptations are inescapable, but they do not come from God, for God tempts no one. Yet these temptations are unavoidable. Jesus himself says it is necessary that temptations come. Where do these temptations come from then, if not from God? If not then, from ourselves? Indeed, temptations are not God's creation, but our own creation. They come from both within and from without. Satan is a reality. He has been empowered by us through our sin, by our first parents in their sin. He is now the prince of this world, prowling about as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And yet, what does he do? Where is his power? How have we equipped him? Well, he is the prince of liars. He comes and he lies to you, and you listen to him. Consider what he might say to you. His first temptation, indeed there are many temptations, but three given, both with Adam and Eve and then with Jesus. His first temptation is to cause you to doubt towards God, to forsake your faith, to not trust in the loving kindness of God, that God is with you, preserving you, caring for you, lest you strike your feet against the stone. So also he comes and tempts you with another sort of lie, a lie that causes you to think or to be uncertain that God has your best interests in mind, to cause you to think that there is another way to go apart from the Father's way, to cause you to step off the path and to go out into the wilderness of sin. Finally, Satan tempts you in a third way. He leads you to believe that you are masters of your own destiny, that your wisdom is greater than God's wisdom, that your traditions, your practices, your thoughts about this world, about what is right and about what is wrong, moral and immoral, that your thoughts are higher than God's thoughts, that you can control the future. Of course, this makes us, if we listen to these temptations, no different than our parents, Adam and Eve. They too first listened to the serpent when he caused them to doubt that God was giving them all good things. He says to them, "Did God really say?" Of course, then he also caused them not to think that God the Father had their best interests in mind when he told them not to eat of the tree. Instead, he plants the seeds of doubt in their mind, make them uncertain of the way that God had given them, saying to them, "If you eat of that tree, surely you won't die." And finally, there is no greater temptation than to place ourselves, our wisdom, our thoughts, our desires above those of what God has given us. And so Satan tempted our parents in the same way, saying to them, "If you eat of this tree, you will be wise unto good and evil. You will be like God." Or I might just say it this way, you will be God unto yourself. So Satan is equipped when we listen to his temptations, when they come from without. But these temptations also then come from within. James said, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." And so there is a great battle afoot, both against the temptations that come from our own desires that entice us to forsake our God, to not trust in Him for every good, perhaps to be not so certain that He has our best interests in mind, and to depart from His way, or perhaps to just think that we know better entirely, and that we can control our destiny. We can avoid that which would tempt us by our own powers, perhaps. There's no greater hubris, no greater thought that we can be like God than to think that we can avoid death, that we could somehow overcome it through technology or through will. But having lost two of our dear brothers to death this week, only to be found by our Lord in their baptism, to be taken to heaven, we know that this end is unavoidable. And that alone should cause us to turn back to God. To turn back to God for our hope, for salvation. We are not ill-equipped for this war. Indeed, we would know that death is an inescapable reality if we listened to His word. That is where all temptation comes from. Not listening to His word. When He says, "Thou shalt," if you think, "Well, maybe that's not quite for me, a word for me, or perhaps I'll just do the opposite because I know better." God says, "Thou shalt not steal," which includes greed and envy. And you think you know better what He actually means by that command. You are taking God's word and twisting it to your own desires. Indeed, making it into a temptation, not into the good and righteous way of God. But if you don't substitute God's word for your own word, but instead allow His word to stand in your heart, to be your guide and your strength, indeed the weapon of faith, sword of the Spirit, the armor of righteousness, then you are well equipped for temptations when they come your way, either from without, from Satan in this world, or from within, from your own wicked heart. If we are honest about the temptations, that they are from both within and without, and even those of Satan are only efficacious, they only work when we let them work, then we know that we cannot overcome temptation by our own strength or emotion. Indeed, we have no capacity to avoid these temptations apart from God, apart from His word and Spirit, that is, from Jesus. Therefore, what James says later in his epistle is that we should submit to God in all things, thereby resisting the devil, causing him to flee from you. Indeed, James seems to be reflecting upon this very story of Jesus, of His temptation with Satan in the wilderness, where at every turn, Jesus deflects Satan's temptations with the word of God. Says to him, "It is written." Why does Satan submit to this word? Why does it resist his onslaught? Simply because it's the truth. Because it is God's word. It is His will. It is righteous. And a lie cannot stand the truth. A liar cannot abide by one who speaks the truth. And so, submit to God. And just like Jesus, the devil will flee from you. But we also need to pay heed to how quickly Jesus responded to these temptations. He did not play with Satan, bandy back and forth with him, toy with these ideas that Satan was trying to plant in his flesh. No, he immediately said the word of God in response, immediately pointed out his error, was not patient and kind with Satan. No, he immediately called him out, called out his bluff even, even told him when he was misquoting the scripture. For example, when Satan said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you," Satan misquoted the psalmist from Psalm 91. For the psalmist had said, "He will command his angels concerning you," regarding his ways. He left out the end, that the angels would guard him to keep him on the path, to keep him obedient to God. Do you need to leave? Okay. Therefore, we should learn from Jesus that we should watch for temptation. We should be aware of when it comes. We should not play with it, thinking it is mere child's play, as Luther would say, but rather to take up the whole armor of God in worship and in prayer, in song and hymn, the helmet of salvation, the spirit of the Word of God, so that we are able to withstand the devil when he tempts us. To watch and to pray, not play with fire, not dawdle while our sins smolder in our heart, to not give the devil any opportunity, but to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. For Jesus says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we give no place for the devil. And indeed, if something is causing us to sin, what do? But expose it to the light. Use the sword of the Spirit to cut through the darkness and to expose it to Jesus. Jesus says that if our eye causes us to sin, we should pluck it out and cast it away. Or if our hand causes us to sin, to cut it off. Better to go into heaven maimed and lame than into the everlasting fire. And so temptations are inescapable as long as we remain yet sinners. But that is not to leave us without hope. For Jesus says that temptations are never above our ability to endure as Christians. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, St. Paul says, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But in all temptation, from Satan, from this world, even from your own desires, he will always make a way of an escape, that you may be able to bear it. What is the way of escape for the Christian? How can you bear with these temptations that are inescapable? Well, of course, it is in the Word of God. Not only is it the armor, but it is also the sword. It is also the beacon that exposes darkness to light. You receive this Word not just as it is preached and taught or as you study your scriptures in devotion, but it is given to you in your baptism. Baptism that made you a child of God, that marked you as a target of Satan's tempts. Indeed, just as it did for Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized, and immediately in chapter 4, he's led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So it is for you. Having been baptized, you were marked as prey for Satan. He did not care for you before your baptism, for you remained in sin. But having been baptized, you now know what this world truly is. You know that it is a wilderness with only occasional oases that provide you with good things, but full of temptation, full of sin. You know that these temptations have one goal in mind, that you would cast off your God, that you would not listen to his word, that you would think that you know better, and that you can control your own destiny. And even if you do not listen to those evil tempts of Satan, he would seek then to strangle you, to put you to death, to kill you. But learn from your Savior. Learn that he suffered in the same ways that you suffered. He is your high priest who knows your weaknesses, who was tempted in the same way that you are, and yet did not submit to them. And thereby was the righteous Son of God, the true, obedient Adam. And he did this not just for himself, but he did it for you, so that rather than suffering the penalty for your sin, for your falling into temptation, you would instead be led from temptation into righteousness, from death into life, that he would make you perfect children of God in him, a merciful and faithful high priest, atoning for your sins, making you, again, righteous and obedient. That is why you're here this morning. That's why you're here each week. To hear that word of Jesus. To be taken from Satan's temptations towards doubt. To be brought back from your stray wandering in the wilderness, back onto the path that leads unto eternal life. And finally, to receive from God your destiny in him. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. Temptations may be inescapable, and indeed they come from within and from without, but you have nothing to fear, for you are God's child. His word dwells in you, so therefore watch and pray and enter into salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.